Welcome to Raw Talk on M88. Call in with your questions or comments. Toll free 1-866-730-4921. Or submit your question to Dear DJ at M88.org. Now, it's time for some Raw Talk on M88.
And welcome to Raw Talk here on M88. I'm your host, Yo. And tonight on Raw Talk, we're going to take a closer look at how the church is using technology and whether or not something that M88 just started is a good idea or a bad idea. We'll get to that here in just a moment. But first, we want to welcome back Mandy. Mandy's been gone forever, Mandy.
I know. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know, if you didn't want to do the show, you could have just said so instead of coming up with excuses each week. And
I can't make it because of this.
I'm sick or I don't have a place to live.
Yeah. Stuff like that.
I'm sorry. You know what? Those were lame reasons.
Yeah, they were.
Like, I'm sick. I don't feel well. Oh, I'm homeless. I can't come in because I got to move.
Like, okay, you know, if you just don't want to be here, just say so. It's all good. That's all you have to do.
You know what? I'll be sure to be more honest next time.
Yeah, I'd appreciate that, Mandy. I'd very much appreciate that. Well, tonight we're talking about the Twitter page of church, and I'm glad you came in tonight because I was all nervous during the weekend because you were sick again on Friday. I was like, oh, man, she's sick again. She's not going to come in. It was her idea for the name, Twitter page of church, which was I thought was a great name.
Thank you.
And then I was all worried that you weren't going to be here, and I was going to have to try and run with the Twitter page of church on my own. But I'm glad you're here. And it was a great idea. I like that name for the show because that's really what we're talking about. Is it possible for the church to get so fascinated, so Twitter-pated with technology, that we lose sight of what the purpose of technology is? And the Twitter-pated church is kind of a inside joke because M88 just started doing Twitter.
Twitter, right.
And honestly, you know, one of the things I wanted to do with the show tonight is have people tell us, you think this is a good idea or a bad idea? I mean, I want to be very open, upfront, and honest with our audience and you know, not do anything without them knowing about our reasons why and then give them a chance to sound. It's kind of like what we did when we did MySpace. Mm-hmm. You know, Joey came in and talked about why we thought we'd start doing that. And so we're going to discuss that tonight. So 1-866-730-4921, if you want to call in and offer a comment or a question, you know, you can tell us, yeah, I think it's good you're doing Twitter. I think it's not so much. Or what is Twitter? we'll try and tackle that question as well. And speaking of Twitter, if you're one of the few people who are following M88 on Twitter already, it's twitter.com/M88radio. And if you're following us, you can post a comment or a question on Twitter, and we'll read that during the show as well. So if you want to interject to Raw Talk that way, you're more than welcome to do that. But yeah, so we're going to talk about M88, its use of technology, specifically Twitter, but then broaden it. How does technology help or hinder the gospel? Is it a good idea for the church to embrace as much technology as possible, or should we be conservative in how we use technology? And what are your thoughts on that? How does technology help or hinder the gospel? Give us a call and join in tonight, 1-866-730-4921. You can also call in locally if you want, 338-5790, and offer your thoughts on that as we tackle a topic that I think is really relevant. We are in a rapidly changing culture right now. There's like new technologies every day. I can't even hardly keep up. And, you know, the church is typically a little behind the curve, but it's one thing. Should we just jump on board with every new technology that comes along just for the sake of doing it, or how should we approach it? So that's what we're going to discuss tonight. And please join us. What are you laughing at?
I can't see the clock, but I was wondering if you were going to take a breath.
Why? Does it look like I was going to pass out?
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's okay. No, thanks for
the past 3 weeks, I've gotten used to talking on my own.
You know what? I'm sorry I have let you down in that regard. But no, really, like you were talking about, you know, the main question tonight is technology helping or hindering the gospel? And I think that's, you know, right now, as, you know, I've seen this weekend, there's a local church who just started doing just announced that they would be turning into a satellite church for another pastor who's out of state. And the reactions from that are kind of interesting. And I think it applies just as much to these social networking tools, Twitter, Facebook, MySpace, even looking back, far enough, you know, we were looking over some statistics earlier at the amount of churches using websites and podcasting and whatnot.
Email.
Exactly, and all these different things. And to see the reactions that people have where either, I mean, they tend to fall in extremes, which is kind of crazy to me. Either they are thrilled that we are as, you know, as a church, a nationwide church, doing whatever we can to stay current on the times and with the technology, or they begin to kind of freak out about it. Like, what are we doing? Why are we trying to do everything that that, you know, society around us is doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, are we supposed to follow all these things? Are we supposed to do everything that, you know, that they're doing? And are we supposed to have the same mindset on all these things as well? Which is kind of a big deal, because really it's sometimes it's not so much about what we're using as far as technology is concerned, but how and why.
I think the big question really is why we're using it. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to do this show right after we started getting on Twitter as a station, as M88, because that's an important question. Mm-hmm. Why are we doing this? And, you know, maybe you're curious. You know, you can call in 1-866-730-4921 or 338-5790. And maybe you want to ask, why is M88 doing that? Or, you know, again, what is Twitter? We'll actually explain that here in just a bit. But it's a very important question for us to examine. And really, one of my main concerns as a station is that question. Why are we doing this? Because there's lots of things that we could be doing. There's lots of things maybe some people would say that we should be doing. But my main concern is to always be careful that we're not doing something just for the sake of doing it, but that we're doing it for the sake of the kingdom of God.
Right.
And sometimes, I'm going to be honest with people, sometimes it's hard to see that.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to see where the line is between those two. Doing it just for the sake of doing it, because it's flashy, it's cool, like, oh, look at us, we're all high tech, look how up to date we are, look
right.
how relevant we are. You know, we get caught up in that, and don't get me wrong, it's exciting mm-hmm. to use technologies, and especially as a ministry. It's exciting to do that. But how do we make sure we don't just get caught up in the thrill of it, and that we're actually using it for a genuine purpose, and that we're not just, you know, soothing over our conscience with things like, well, it's all for the glory of God, or this is to reach out with
right.
the gospel of Christ.
Yeah, Christianese to-do lists.
We use these common phrases,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes we use them so tritely that we don't really even stop to think about them, and we just toss it out because we want legitimate reason to use a technology. Oh, we're going to start doing this for the kingdom of God. Or, you know,
right.
we're going to start doing this because it'll help spread the gospel. And
right.
no one's even thinking about what that statement means. It just seems like the right thing to say to legitimize why we're using a technology.
Well, and another issue with that is not even so much the heart always, because I've seen plenty of ministries have the right heart on a matter. Like, they legitimately want to use a certain technology for the glory of God, but they go about it in a completely sometimes destructive way, in the sense that, you know, I've seen, like, for instance, I was looking up different, you know, churches around the U.S. I was looking up their Twitter pages earlier today, and to see some of their postings, and that if I took my left hand and blocked out the ministry name on the side of the page, on the side of the Twitter page, mm. and read through the Twitter posts,
right.
I would have no, I thought it was just another organization, you know, mm. either they were having coffee sales in their coffee shop, or you know, they were showing, a movie that, you know, I mean, you know, whether mm-hmm. it's a Christian movie or not is a whole nother topic. But,
right.
you know, they were just, you know, showing a movie the next night, or, you know, they forgot to tell people, oh, you know, don't forget about this sale in our bookstore. And it was like, why do you have a Twitter? Why, you know, if we as believers, if our actions are supposed to reflect the God that we serve,
mm-hmm.
Which they are. Why wouldn't our, you know, even things like social networking tools,
mm-hmm.
why wouldn't our Twitter page be able to reflect who we believe in and who we serve and who we follow? Why wouldn't our Facebooks be able to do that? And why wouldn't our MySpaces be able to do that? So, you know, even though these organizations, and I say organizations because that's how they come across, even though they might have a wonderful heart in the matter, sometimes it can just be completely twisted because they fall into the same pattern of usage as the rest of the world.
And it's hard to get out of that pattern,
mm-hmm.
you know. And let's face it, sometimes church is a commercial venture.
Yeah.
It takes money to run things. M88's the same way. We're non-commercial, but it still takes money to run things.
Right.
And sometimes it's hard to get out of that mindset. Oh, here's a way to make more money. Here's a way to make more money. for the good of the God, kingdom of God. You know, we always have to toss that in there. So it sounds a little more holy, but really it comes down to, well, here's a way to make more money. Well, if you got some comments or questions about this as we discuss the Twitter page at church, how does technology help or hinder the gospel? That's what we really want to examine. Give us a call, 1-866-730-4921. We have Joey on the line. Am I saying that right, Joey?
That's correct.
All right. Well, welcome to Raw Talk, and what do you have to say?
Well, I just wanted to share with you all that I feel that it's all about staying global and getting the word out to the masses. I mean, you know, times have changed, and there are a lot of older people that aren't really giving us the support that I feel we should be allowed, you know?
Mm-hmm. So you would come from the camp that would say, by any and all means possible, we use it for spreading the gospel. It doesn't matter. If we can use it, we should.
Amen.
All right. Well, I just wanted to clarify that's where you're coming from. And do you think there's any dangers in that, Joey? I mean, can you foresee any dangers in just embracing any and all technology all for the sake of we'll just use it. It doesn't matter. We have to.
Honestly, I would have to say it's whenever you're standing with God, there's really not too much that's going to stand against you. So I think that kind of mindset, holding that negative opinion, is going to keep you from actually progressing.
Okay, now, Joey, I have a question for you. Because I understand what you're saying and where you're coming from as far as, you know, using whatever means necessary and God being able to use whatever means necessary to bring himself glory and spread his word and the truth of his love. But what happens, say, when our younger generation begins to replace, you know, maybe past methods of evangelizing or anything like that with only using these technologies, with using Twitter, you know, to share a verse or Facebook to witness to a friend, but never, you know, that one-on-one face-to-face communication? Do you think that there's an issue that can come of that as well?
I think we lost Joey. Oh, no, wait, he's still there. Go ahead, Joey.
I feel that if you're looking at that idea from the negative point, then yeah, it could bring up a lot of harm. I mean, that's kind of the way the world works. But if you really are wholeheartedly going about it from the perspective of a God mindset, then yeah, there's no way that it could hurt. And in fact, you know, people are going to continue conversing with each other face to face, no matter what. And to share something that happened with somebody on the other side of the world at the same time, that's beautiful.
Well, technology certainly is giving us a broader reach than we've ever had
that's
before.
True.
Thanks so much for calling in and sharing some of your thoughts, Joey.
Hey, not a problem, man. Peace with you.
All right. Have a great evening. 1-866-730-4921. If you'd like to share some thoughts, ask a question, be sure to do so as we talk about this. How does technology help or hinder the gospel? Should the church embrace any and all technology possible, or should we be a little more restrained when it comes to how we embrace technology and how we use it? And, you know, how do we make sure that we're using it for the right reasons? If you got some thoughts on that, 1-866-730-4921. You know, you and I were talking earlier about how some people are saying that Facebook and Twitter and all these social networking sites are becoming the way of meaningful communication. For this generation, that it's giving them a way to stay in touch in meaningful ways more than ever before. And, you know, I thought that was kind of an interesting thought. Like, really?
Really? Is that how it works?
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that was actually from an article that I had read. And I'm not going to give out the guy's name just because I don't know. One of the things he said, it says these tools focus, and these tools speaking about, you know, social networking and technology and whatnot, says these tools focus on two-way communication. Oftentimes these conversations are messy, silly, hard, anything but slick and easy. They are, however, quite often meaningful. And I found that kind of backwards in the sense that I personally have a much easier time communicating when I have time to think about and write out what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And so more often than not, it's a lot less messy and a lot less sticky as far as, you know, getting my message across. And yet the majority of the time, they're not as meaningful as when I sit down and have a conversation with somebody. Now, I agree with what Joey was saying about, you know, you can post a status message on Facebook and not only reach, you know, your neighbor, the person who lives next to you, but also reach somebody that, you know, maybe somehow you were connected to across the world. And you can reach them with the same message. However, you know, they receive it is up to them. But does it, is it really easier? Does it really, you know, bring about more meaningful conversations? It's kind of something you have to look at.
Yeah, and I actually think this is one area where the church must divide from society mm-hmm. and take a different route, and we'll discuss why here in just a moment. But if you'd like to call in and share a comment, 1-866-730-4921, or if you are following M88 on Twitter at twitter.com/M88, post a comment or a question. We'll read it right off of our status update page there, and mm-hmm. it'd be all crazy and like, wow, you're talking about technology, whether or not you should use it, and yet you are. I know. No, that's called irony, kids. So help us be ironical on tonight's show. We have John on the line. John, welcome to Raw Talk. And what do you have to say, John?
Well, my thought is moderation.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, God has a purpose, you know, for all his technology. Otherwise, we, you know, he wouldn't reveal it to us. But I think also that, you know, we got to realize as a church, okay, you know, we use these things, but yet nothing replaces the face-to-face of ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's good. It's good maybe to use it to, you know, especially like overseas, you know. But like, but just to like convert a friend or whatever you're trying to do,
mm-hmm.
that's much better doing it face-to-face.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you, John. And like I was saying, I think this is an area where the church must divide from society when it comes to their use of technology, social
right.
networking, and even satellite churches. I think the Western church must approach that differently than
right.
Many Eastern churches. Our pastor recently went to Singapore,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's
okay.
That's a tremendously crowded area.
Right.
Little real estate, but a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And so the only place they have to grow is up. You know, everything is in high rises. And so
right.
they have huge churches there, you know, 15, 20,000 people. Well, here in the United States, you just build a giant building for everyone to go to. They can't do that
right.
there. They just don't have the real estate. So for those huge churches, what ends up happening is that they do the satellite church thing where you have a pastor who preaches somewhere, but everyone else sees it through a video feed at different locations
right.
all throughout the city. It's the only practical way for a church of that size to do it there in Singapore. However,
mm-hmm.
here in America, I don't think that is necessarily the model we need to embrace.
It's not necessary because I know – you know, part of the church experience for me is one is going to just be there with the Spirit, you know,
right.
I'm saying to be there with the Holy Spirit, to, you know, feel and be touched by the Holy Spirit. And you can't get that through video.
Right. No, I mean, there's good uses for it. There's no denying that. But I
right.
don't think it's a model that we necessarily need to follow in this society. And I know some people are going to get upset with me for saying that.
Mm-hmm.
But really, I think that is the franchise mentality of American Christianity. You
right.
you get a certain product and then you reproduce it as much as possible.
Because it works.
It's the McDonald's version of church.
Mm-hmm.
And I know people
yeah,
don't like hearing that, okay? And I'm sorry. But and I'm not saying that legitimate ministry isn't done that way. You know, God can use anything. Don't get me wrong. But I think here there are better models to use than the McDonald's version of church where,
mm-hmm.
ooh, I like that quote-unquote brand, that product of church. Let's replicate it as many ways as possible with all these satellite churches via video feed and all that type of stuff because this is the product that people like right now. Okay, well, what happens when that changes? Well, then we'll adjust to something else. You know, the satellite mentality here in our nation I don't think is the best approach. But it appeals to people because it's all slick and, ooh, look what we can do technology-wise.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but someplace like Singapore, it's the only practical means. And so there I think the technology is being used very effectively. Here I think it's being used just for the sake of using it. And that makes me a little bit uncomfortable. Thanks for calling in and sharing your thoughts there, John.
I think you hit on something else.
Yeah.
With, like, the churches, you know, like selling what am I trying to say? Like you said, McDonald's type church,
mm-hmm.
you know, where, you know, they want you to come in and they want you to, you know, buy stuff or, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's just, you know, look in the example of the Old Testament where they were doing that in the temple where Jesus went there and, you know, kicked them all out, mm-hmm. said, this is not happening in my temple, basically.
Right.
You know, and I think that's what we need to keep in mind that, you know, church isn't about, you know, making money or buying stuff. It's about leading people to Jesus Christ. And yep. that's it.
Yep. Well, you know, it's a delicate balance in our, especially in our culture,
yes,
the balance between ministry and the commercial product.
Right.
And trying to find that middle grounds can be very tricky. But if you can, it can be a sweet place to be. Thanks for your thoughts, John. Really appreciate
it. Thank you.
All right. Have a great evening.
You too.
1-866-730-4921 if you'd like to call in and offer some thoughts. And again, I'll talk about why I think we need to approach the whole social networking thing differently here mm-hmm. in just a moment. I think that's one place the church needs to divide from the way society is approaching it. But we have Chris on the line. Chris, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say, Chris?
Well, I believe that, I'm biased because I am a very huge tech fan. It's my profession. But I think that in a ministry, we need to be discerning.
Mm-hmm.
Like earlier you said, are we using this for the sake of using it?
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely think that that isn't very discerning, but I think of David whenever he wanted to build a temple. He's saying, hey, why do we have, you know, this the ark inside of a little tent when I'm living in walls?
Right.
And it was a great motive, great idea. They had the ability and the means to do this, but God said, no, it's a great idea. I'm happy that you're thinking of me, but not right now. And I think that the same thing goes with pretty much anything, including technology.
Now, let me ask you, Chris, since you are a tech guy and are into that, how can we be discerning when it comes to technology? How can we make sure that we're not just getting caught up in the moment and using technology for the sake of it? How can we really know that we're using it for the right reasons and for effective reasons?
Well, I think that the first criteria, of course, is having a very personal relationship with Christ so that we have the opportunity. I mean, we're given the gift of the Holy Spirit for comfort, for discernment, and for, you know, the ability to communicate with God. And I think that two-way communication and leadership with God is a must. And I think that if you're, like, wanting to branch out your ministry, that it should be led with prayer
mm-hmm.
and listening and waiting for what God has to say.
Very good. And I'm glad you were able to call in and share those insights from an insider point of view, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for calling in, man.
No problem.
All right. Have a great evening. 1-866-730-4921. And Chris makes a great point. Number one thing to approach, especially with technology, prayer.
Prayer.
Prayer
mm-hmm.
is key. And going back to the social networking thing, and here's where I think it needs to divide for the church. Is it meaningful conversation to read status updates on Facebook or Twitter posts, tweets, or whatever? Is that the meaningful way that today's society is communicating? I'd have to say probably. You know, kids text message more than they interact with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the church follows that. Sometimes you can walk onto a church campus. You see more people looking down at their phones than they are looking at the people who are coming onto the campus. And here's where we need to divide. We need to still remain interested in the individual. And here's why. Because that's going to stand out as radically different. People are not going to expect that anymore. They're going to expect you to, oh, I'll catch up with you on Facebook. Oh, I'll catch up with you on text message. Oh, I'll catch up with you, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, that's the way people expect to interact and have meaningful communication. When the church stands out and says, no, how about we actually sit down and talk? How about you and I meet somewhere and discuss this? Granted, that takes extra effort. Granted, that takes more time. Sometimes it might even take money. Because, you know, it'd be mm-hmm. polite if you pay for them. But
right.
think of the investment and think of how we will stand out when the church is more interested in interpersonal communication than intertechnological communication.
Is that a word?
I don't know.
Okay.
You know what I'm trying to say.
No, but yeah, I do know what you're trying to say. And I can say clearly, you know, it's not even always about, okay, what makes us stand out, but how did Christ go about this? How did Christ did not... You know, Jesus didn't come to the earth to, you know, I don't know. I'm gonna try to word this in the best way possible, because yes, he was increasing his followers, but he was God.
Mm-hmm.
He was not separate from God. He was not just a regular man trying to, you know, increase his friends list, as it were. But he focused on the individual, and even though he was increasing his followers, he was doing that by focusing on one-on-one relationships.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had, you know, a group of followers that he invested in, his disciples, and then he told them, you know, you go out and you love others and you make disciples of all men, not by, not by having them increase their own followers, you know, because you can read and it says, you know, in 1 Corinthians, it says, you know, now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ, but Christ isn't divided.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so we do, like you said, we have to separate ourselves from the way that society looks at these social networking tools, because we're not trying to get others to follow, you know, I'm not trying to get people to follow Mandy's Facebook, Mandy's status messages, Mandy's this or that.
Or even M88s as an entity.
Or even M88s, yeah, right. As a group, we're not trying to get people, oh, how many people can we get to follow ours? No, you know, if we do look at that, and if we do ever say that, like, hey, we want you guys to follow our Twitter posts, it's because we want to help you grow, and mm-hmm. we want to help you as a station, as you know, as a group of individuals here who love the Lord and who want you to love the Lord. We want you to, and we want, you know, our example here to be that you would see us and follow Christ as a result of that, not that you'd follow us.
Yeah, you know, and hear me, I think Twitter, Facebook, all, you know, text messaging, all these forms of communication that we have today are great stepping stones, but the church must go past that to meet the individual where they're
exactly.
at in person.
Exactly.
Now, these tools give us an opportunity to connect with a lot more people and reach out, spread the net further, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
But they should not replace interpersonal interaction. Because once we start going down that route, then I think we are going to lose touch with why we're here, and it's people.
Right.
And you know, for my concern for M88 is to make sure that's not what happens, that we don't lose touch with people. And it's really hard as a radio station because, you know, we are kind of separated from our listeners. Mm-hmm. I'm talking to them on a microphone. I don't see anyone standing around me. But nevertheless, the point of us being here as a ministry, as a radio station, is to help people with their personal lives.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, something like Twitter, I hope, I pray, will give us an opportunity to let listeners see us more honestly. And see that, you know, we're not anything special. We're just people who are doing our best to try and follow Christ and encourage them in a way that we probably wouldn't be able to without it, because it's very difficult for us as a radio station to, you know, meet everyone on a personal basis. But as much as possible, we want to try and bridge that gap between the airwaves and the person. And I'm hoping Twitter will help us with that.
Mm-hmm.
But regardless of ministry, it should be used as a stepping stone to get to the person and not something that just, hey, look how many people we can reach. Woo! Look at the numbers!
Right.
Which is so tempting.
Yes.
You know, you see something like Ashton Kutcher. Hey, I got a million followers before CNN. Like, hey, that was cool. I wonder how many we can get. You know, like even just when we started doing Twitter as a station, you know, it's always
like,
so tempting.
Oh, we have. Oh,
how many followers
do we
have? And, you know, I caught myself doing that the first day, and immediately
I was
like,
refresh on
yeah,
your,
immediately I realized, minutes. You know what, if I'm going to start thinking that way, already that's the wrong road
right.
to go down. And I absolutely had to stop that. What I had to start thinking of is, no matter how many people are following us on Twitter, what are they getting out of it from the station?
The message doesn't change.
Right. And that's the key thing. 1-866-730-4921 if you'd like to call in and offer some thoughts about this. We have Paul on the line. Paul, welcome to Rod Talk. What do you have to say, Paul?
I think that technology, we need to use it within moderation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a missionary kid who became a missionary.
Cool.
And I see the advantage that when my mom had like major prayer requests or trying to get in contact with churches, you know, you had to send out letters, it takes a week, and then they'd write and send a week. But now we have instant access to churches who support us, instant access to people who want to pray for us, and just the advantage that we can have of that,
mm-hmm.
Being able to, as an international body of Christ, get together and pray for each other in different ways. I just think that's a wonderful advantage we can use with it.
Yeah, yeah, it's kind of cool. My brother just recently, I'm so proud of him. He and his family just recently went to Chile to be missionaries. They're actually in Costa Rica right now for language training, but then they're going to go to Chile. But the thing that I'm excited about there is that they don't feel quite as far away as they probably would have even 5-7 years ago.
Right.
Because of things like Skype. You know, I can talk to him face-to-face over the internet with a web camera and still get a chance to see him and his kids grow, you know, my nephew and my niece. And so even though they were leaving and going far away, it doesn't feel as far away as when my family moved to the Philippines. We felt so far away from our family because then, this was late 80s, you know, there weren't those options like instant messaging or, you know, the Skype or doing messages over Facebook or status update blogs. A lot of that didn't exist, and we felt so isolated from our family. And I'm grateful that now's the time that my brother's going because he won't feel as isolated, at least to me. I won't feel as isolated from him while he's in Chile. I don't know how they'll feel because they're going to be in a foreign country, kind of a different setting for him. But nevertheless, I don't think they'll feel quite as isolated as when we were kids because he will be able to keep in touch with his family. And I think that's a great use for technology, especially in the missionary field. Now, this has been kind of a new exposure for me and my family, Paul. We haven't had – well, I mean, we've traveled as a family, but now having one of our family members kind of break away and go off without the rest of the family going with them has been kind of traumatic but also exciting, you know. We've all shed a few tears about that and been nervous about it. But at the same time, we've all been so excited to see the legacy of our family spreading to another country because of the godly example that my parents set. And yet, you know, he just doesn't feel that far away. And that I'm excited about when it comes to technology. Me and my brother talked a lot about this. Like, okay, what are you going to do? Because, you know, if you're on Facebook, then I can, you know, send you messages and stuff. And we can, like, chat all the time, and, you know, because I didn't want to lose touch with him when he's in another country. So thanks for calling in, Paul.
Yeah, welcome.
Yeah, I appreciate the missionary insight on that and remind me of what my brother's doing.
Exactly.
Yeah. You have a good night there, Paul.
You too.
All right. 1-866-730-4921 if you want to call in and offer your thoughts. How does technology help or hinder the gospel? How can we tell the difference if we're using it in a helpful way or it's hindering us and we don't even realize it because we're just so caught up in it? Look at all the cool stuff we're doing. Ooh, we got podcasts and we got video casts and we got Twitter and woo, look at it all.
We get Twitter-pated.
Yeah, exactly. And we get so caught up in it that we totally forget why we're doing it in the first place. And I think that's really, like I've said before, I think that's really tricky because you're still putting out, you know, sermons, you're still putting out, you know, quote unquote biblical content. Mm-hmm. It's still going out, and you can still have this feeling like, yeah, the Bible's going out, the word doesn't return void. But I still think it kind of goes back to your motivation. Are you just throwing stuff out there because, like, look at us, look how cool we are, look how advanced our church is? Or are you doing it because, man, this is going to reach more people than we could do before? But that's such a, I think it's such a fine line that it's easy to cross.
It is. I think it's just like anything else where, you know, like a couple of the guys have said already, it's in moderation, first of all, lots of prayer and discernment on the issues because, I mean, I'll be honest, I've been really discouraged in the past, I don't know, say 6 months because I've seen so many churches, so many congregations who have fallen into that. Oh, well, we were online and this person's using this, so we need to use that too.
Yeah.
And there's no, like, you know, there are times when they throw in the Christianese to spread the glory of God, and there are times when they don't. And you know what? It's disheartening for me to see that because primarily, just because it's like, you know what? These are, let's face it, these are awesome tools that God could use if we would pull our head out of our little pride bubble and let him use us and let him use those things. Because, you know, I was reading that same article I was talking about earlier, where I didn't agree with some of the things he said. Mm-hmm. He made a really good point though at the very beginning of it, where he talked about, you know, these social networking tools and technology in general, allowing us to connect with one another, whether it's connecting with other believers across the world, connecting with your family, you know, across state, or even connecting with non-believers on a, you know, on a mass level, that we would not have been able to do 20 years ago, or even like, you know, 3 years ago.
Yep.
It's just, it's consistently and continuously advancing in how much we can connect with others. And he made the point that the more we can connect with others, the more opportunities we do have to spread the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you know, it takes us back to that whole moderation issue. And, you know, it's great when we're able to use these things for God's glory. But we need to make sure that we're not just saying it and we're actually actively pursuing these things in a way that will glorify God.
Yeah, one of my concerns with this whole technology trend, text messaging, Facebook, Twitter, things of that nature, especially comes when it comes to how youth groups are using them.
Mm.
Because here's where I see some trouble. And if you're a youth pastor and listening, you know, by all means, call in and share with us. 1-866-730-4921. Might step on some toes here, but this is just what I've been thinking about. Because it's so easy to think, well, that's where the kids are. So we need to be, again, our catchphrase, relevant, and they're on Facebook, they're doing Twitter, they're text messaging, let's do all that type of stuff. But here I think is the problem with that. You know, like Twitter, you get 140 characters. There's only so much you can say there. Text messaging, most people don't even spell properly because they're trying to type so quickly. As short as possible, they don't even spell out the word U anymore. They just type the letter U. And I'm like, it's two extra letters, people. A Y and an O. To spell you. I mean, come on. That's another pet peeve. But here's the problem. We have kids in youth groups going to college, and depending on what studies you read, 80 to 90% of them, by the time they get to college, walk away from the Christian faith. 80 to 90%. Now, if the main way that we're trying to be relevant and have meaningful conversation with the youth in our youth groups is by, quote unquote, meeting them where they are on Facebook, Twitter, text messaging, stuff like that. There's only so much ministry you can do that way, and there's certainly not enough space to do any sort of discipleship, apologetic training, training in simple things such as logics and the structure of arguments, things that they will need to grow and mature as Christians, especially when they get to college. Again, this is where the church must separate. Yeah, you can, you know, keep the kids up to date, you know, when youth group is, when church is, and things like that. But if we're thinking that's the primary way to reach and be relevant to our kids, we're going to lose them. That's just the simple fact of the matter. We are going to lose them because they are not going to get the kind of training that they need to face the world by the time they get to college, because you just can't accomplish that using some of the technologies that we have. Technology is limited. It's not going to do everything for us. And I think that's one of our biggest weaknesses when it comes to technology. We think technology is going to make everything easier for us and it'll do all the work for us. And I'm sorry, but the Christian life doesn't work that way. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it's challenging. But that's when we grow and that's where we get stronger so that we can face a world that is going to try and keep us quiet. You know, all the stuff we see with Miss California, they're basically mm-hmm. telling her, shut up. We don't want to hear it. Well, you know, when people are used to just sending out a, you know, two sentence text, I don't know how to respond to that. You know, I mean, how are these kids going to be prepared for that? They're not, unless we take the time to, okay, use the technology to connect with them, but then go beyond that and really take the time to personally train them in the truths of God's word and give them a foundation that they can stand on that goes beyond just the technology. And we have to stop thinking, well, they could get the podcast of my message.
Mm.
Well, you know, they could go online and read the notes. Or, you know, we keep – sometimes technology almost becomes an excuse not to go the extra step to actually –
to be lazy.
Right. With technology will take care of it. They don't need me to talk to them. They can get it online. They can get the podcast. Mm. Blah, 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 blah. And I think that is part of the reason we're losing so many kids when they get to college. They haven't had anyone take them aside, take them under their wing, treat them like Paul did Timothy, train them up as a disciple, and prepare them for what they're going to face.
Well, and that issue actually, as true as that is for youth, and it is, because I remember, you know, back when I was in high school, and I remember getting a very similar message via email
mm-hmm.
that one of my youth leaders had come and actually spoken to me about, and I kind of blew off the email like, that's cool, and I'm glad you care, but go away.
Yeah.
That's, you know, mentally, I never told them that, but mentally, that's kind of how I felt about it, as opposed to them coming to me and saying, hey, we have legitimate concerns about this area of your life, and we want to sit down and talk to you about it. The issue is that problem, that issue is not only in youth groups, but it just looks differently when you apply it to the church as a whole. Because what happens is, whereas in youth group you have this issue of them focusing so much on, okay, I'm going to give you the message. You're going to hear the message, and you're going to hear the message, and you guys are all going to hear the message in one way or another, so we're not going to talk to you. And forgetting, you know, one, what the message is that they're trying to get across,
mm-hmm.
and also, two, how important it is to actually sit down and share that message with somebody. What happens once you get into, you know, as kids would call it, big church, is that once you get into there and people are doing the same thing where it's, well, we want you to hear the message, so here are our podcasts, here's our Twitter, here's our Facebook. You know, you can become a fan of the pastors now on Facebook.
Follow their blog.
Exactly, like all these different things, and they focus so much on that that their congregation walks into church on Sunday morning, listens to the message sometimes, leaves and says, well, that was church, and I can be a Christian, I can go on with my daily life, and I can be fine. And they forget how to be challenged by the word because they're simply coming here or they're listening to it online. They don't have fellowship. They don't have accountability. And, you know, I'm not trying to bash technology here because, believe me, I have seen God use technology
in amazing ways.
Even radio. I mean, radio is one of those things that God can use.
Look how he's using it now.
Exactly. And so God can use these things. And I have no doubts that he wants to use these things. But like I said, when we in the flesh become so prideful that it becomes all about follow me and not follow Christ, we begin to end up with these churches. We had a show not too long ago where we talked about, you know, the problems in the modern church, in the Western church.
Yeah.
And really, it all just kind of, you know, comes down in this, you know, big tornado of, you know, we're going to do this and we're going to do this and we're going to do this and we're going to do this, but we're not going to sit down and get out there and make disciples of all nations like we are called to do.
You know, it's interesting. I heard one person say it's easier online to do debates and apologetics and stuff like that because you don't talk to someone face-to-face, so you're less inhibited.
Right. You don't have the pressures, and you can look things up and you can...
Right, right. And I was like, okay, interesting, but here's the problem. If that's the way we're training our kids to think, sooner or later they're going to be confronted in person. And they're not going to be able to handle it because all they've learned is how to express their Christian beliefs behind the safe wall of technology
and an internet filter.
Yeah, but when someone personally comes up and is like, I don't think that's true. Show me where that's true. Like,
give me my iPhone so I can Google it and check out what I don't know.
And, you know, it's a sword that cuts both ways. Yes, sometimes it's easier to do ministry via technology because there is that filter and you can be less inhibited, more quote unquote bold or whatever, because, you know, no one's looking at you and they don't see, sometimes they don't even know who you really are. You're using a fake name. But once we get comfortable doing that, what happens when we actually confront people? Then we can't do it. And they're like, everyone has said, moderation and balance. We have to be able to speak to people about the truth of God's word in person and to be able to do it comfortably. And sometimes that's going to get messy. Sometimes it's even going to be painful. I remember some confrontations I've had with professors. They did not make me feel good.
Right.
Would it have been easier to do it via email? Probably, because then I wouldn't have the teacher yelling at me in my face. But I'll never forget the fact that there's a guy sitting right next to me, because we're doing these things in Paris for some reason. I don't remember what the project was, who was absolutely silent. But what they saw was, despite the fact that this professor was extremely aggressive and basically yelling at me, you can't tell me that Jesus Christ is the only way to get to heaven. That is proselytizing. And I would not compromise. I mean, I was scared out of my wits, don't get me wrong. But at the same time, I said, sorry, but it's not me saying that. That's what the Bible says. That's the way it is. And she was furious. But that I'll never know how that conversation affected the person who's sitting right there.
Well, exactly. And it brings up that point of, you know, more often than not, online communication, whether it's your Twitter, Facebook, MySpace, email, whatever, is just one-on-one. Nobody else is seeing it. Nobody else is hurting it. So if you make a fool out of yourself, you know, it's okay because nobody else saw it, right?
Right.
Or if that person has changed, it's fine because nobody else saw it and they can be changed and they can go their way and be discipled by somebody else. It's fine. But you're right. I've seen so many times, even, you know, when I was in high school and I used to do a couple mission trips with the church, is more often than not, and it was always surprising to me, is that the person I talked to, even though they might not have had a heart change after speaking to that person, we would have people come up to us from the side and say, hey, I heard you talking to that person. And God would just bring about this whole new conversation with somebody who, you know, maybe more seeds had been planted and God had, you know, kind of cultivated their heart a little bit more, and they were a little bit closer to having a change of heart in regards to God, and they were more curious and they wanted to know. And it wasn't because, you know, somebody broadcasted it over the radio. And I'm going to say, you know, even with the radio, sometimes it's not as effective.
Yep.
It's, you know, more often than not as effective. But it was through seeing somebody have a conversation one-on-one and God being able to use that, you know, and it's something that he desires of all of us. You know, it's like you said earlier, all these technologies are wonderful tools, but that's all they are. They're a tool, not a replacement factor for communication and love and caring about a person enough to walk up to them and say, you know what, you know, whether it's a stranger or a friend of yours, you know, you're a friend of mine. I love you and God loves you. And, you know, I'll be honest, it doesn't have the same effect coming through Facebook.
No, I don't think it does. And, you know, what did Jesus tell his disciples? All men will you know that you're my disciples by your love
for one another. Yeah.
It's hard to see that in 140 characters on Twitter. Now, I'm going to discuss more about, well, if that's true, then why is M88 doing that here in just a moment. We have Darren on the line. Darren, welcome to Ron Talk. What do you have to say, Darren?
Hello. Yeah, I think that it's really important that we use technology to share the gospel in the world, mm-hmm. and also in Christian believers, because there's like two ways in we could, you know, take advantage of sharing the gospel. It's either like we could do it on mission trips, you know, like going out in ministry and sharing to people, like, you know, face to face and personally, and we could also do it through technology, because so many times that people get caught up in media, you know, and media shows them like all the different stuff, you know, like the media pretty much have poisoned like the world with, you know, with this fake identity of pop culture. And I think that it's time that, you know, we share the gospel through the radio station like M88. And I'm going to be honest, I listen to M88 a lot, and it totally helped me out in my Christian lifestyle, because if I was listening to a secular radio station, I would probably be still cussing right now. I'd probably, like, you know, I wouldn't have, like, so much influence in my life and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I do also have a Bible verse to share, because we also need to be careful about using technologies in our ministries, because we could, like, get distracted for it. And I have this verse in Revelation, chapter 2, verse 4, and it says, "Yet I hold this against you, you have forsaken your first love." And this is the words of Jesus Christ, because he's talking about this church in Ephesus. And, you know, they have, like, this great program. They love each other, but then, like, you know, they kind of got distracted along the way.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's a great verse, and I'm glad you share that, because that is a good example of what we don't want to happen with this ministry, M88, or with the church in general when it comes to the use of technology. And you're right. You know, the church that Jesus was addressing was doing a lot of great things. They were having a big impact. They were doing things that were awesome and changing lives. And yet Jesus still said, "This I have against you. You have lost, you have forgotten your first love." And you're absolutely right. We got to be careful that technology doesn't have that happen to us. Thanks for calling in, Darren. We're just about out of time, so we're going to move on real quick, okay?
All right, sure. No problem.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Darren. And Chris is up. Chris, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say, Chris?
Well, I'm just kind of asking about the earlier it sounded as though Mandy was saying that a lot of people get sidetracked. They'll listen to the podcast. They'll get really enveloped in all this technology.
Yeah.
And then go to an actual service and walk away and not do anything. Mm-hmm. And I guess I see loving and sharing Christ and using technology as not being mutually exclusive. And that, of course, you shouldn't be using any one thing, whether that's a church service or a personal quiet time, as your sole mode of, you know, worshiping and loving God. You should be doing it in everything that you're doing. And I think that using technology simply gives me even more ways that I can worship, love, and learn God.
Yeah, I think you're right. But at the same time, we have to be careful that we're not hiding behind technology.
Well, and Chris, just to kind of clarify what I meant earlier, as far as that goes, is not necessarily from, you know, the person's standpoint of the person that comes into church and hears a message and then goes home and listens to podcasts and whatnot, but more from the church's perspective. My point was not that we shouldn't be using podcasting and we shouldn't be using those things because we don't want to, you know, pull people away from the church, from, you know, coming and actually attending a church service. My point was that as as a church, as, you know, not, I'm not talking about the church as a whole, but as each individual congregation goes, we need to be really careful that we don't focus so much on just, you know, drawing people in to hear the message and then sending them home with a CD. We also need to focus on the discipleship part of that. We need to be focused on not just, you know, sharing the sermon, but also following through with talking to people and being in relationship with those that we're, you know, in a fellowship with. Because you know what? Going and calling it a fellowship, but not actually being in fellowship with those around you, kind of defeats the purpose of it. You know, because I can hear sermons online, I can hear sermons over the radio and through TV, but when it comes to actually having a personal relationship with those that, you know, are like-minded with you and who love the Lord as much as you do, really has, you know, a great impact on your walk with God, whether it's through accountability or just the fellowship in general, and being able to talk, and I'm talking true fellowship. I'm not just talking about, you know, we are going to go watch a movie and call that fellowship. I'm talking about sitting down and having God as the focus of your time together. That is so very important, and we need to not forget about that in the church. So I'm not saying that those things are bad, because I listen to podcasts. I think that they're great, and I think that God can use them in awesome ways. But you know,
yeah, I guess that I'm thinking that, you know, and I'm also biased again, because my only Bible study that I lead is a podcast, and the only way that I fellowship with people is email, Twitter, and Facebook. And I've got some people that I can talk about their personalities and things that they're going on in their walk with Christ, and we talk about those things online. And I guess sometimes I don't see a difference in certain circumstances. I don't see a difference between being face-to-face and talking with someone and being on Skype and talking with someone and being online and chatting with someone, because I think they're different modes. And I think that how you view the technology, is this some shiny thing that I'm trying to show off with, or is this my method of communication? Does a deaf person who needs to use sign language have any less of a fellowship than a hearing person who can sing in church during worship audibly?
You know, all valid points, Chris. We're just about out of time. We're going to have to wrap things up, but I appreciate you sharing your perspective tonight, man.
Thank you.
All right. And, you know, it's been kind of an interesting show, because we've been saying all these things, and yet M88 is a technology-driven ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And we are on Twitter. We are going to be using that to hopefully engage the listener better. We've been doing stuff with our website, with Dear DJ, having people write in questions about the Bible, about their walk with Christ, about relationships, and we've been doing our best to provide answers for them. You know, we're on MySpace, where we post good news of the day to hopefully encourage people. You know, and so M88 is a very technology-driven ministry, and we do try to do our best to utilize those tools as effectively as possible. And part of the reason I want to do tonight's show is just as a check for our ministry. Are we using them for the right reason? And I'll be honest, I'm a fairly reluctant adopter of technology, because I am very much all about the interpersonal communication.
Mm-hmm.
But as a radio station, that's just hard to do with everybody that listens to the station. And in fact, it's probably impossible.
It is.
And so technology gives us an opportunity through Twitter, through Facebook, through the M88 website, and much more, to have a connection with our listeners that we wouldn't be able to do otherwise. And I want to use that effectively, but at the same time, I don't want to use it just for the sake of using it to boost M88's numbers. Hey, listen to how many listeners we have. Check out our ratings. Look how much numbers, how we're, you know. And technology is a really effective way to do that. Not for this station. This station, technology should be a way that we connect with our listeners in as an effective way to encourage them with the truth of God's word. And if we're doing it for any other reason, then we're not doing it for the right reason.
Right.
And it's a tricky thing, because our society is changing and evolving rapidly. You know, and as Chris is pointing out, sometimes technology is the best way to do it. Sometimes technology isn't. And we have to be discerning with that. Here's something very interesting to wrap things up with. Philippians chapter 1, verses 15 through 18. I thought this was rather fascinating. This is Paul talking. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. And I found that a fascinating verse to kind of close things out on tonight. And, you know, did we reach any conclusions there tonight? Probably not. Is technology helping or hindering the gospel? All in the eye of the beholder, I suppose, in our relativistic and postmodern society. I don't really like that phrase because it denies absolutes. But and this might be one of those instances where it depends on how you look at it. But I will tell you this. If Christ is being preached, if the gospel is being preached and is truly affecting people's lives, then more power to it. Nevertheless, I want my motivations to be right.
Exactly.
I want to be able to say when I stand before the kingdom, the throne of God in the kingdom of heaven, that I did what I did for the right reasons.
Right.
That it wasn't for me. It wasn't for my honor. It wasn't for the station's glory to see how many listeners we could get. It wasn't for any, it was for the sake of the gospel and for, and sincerely for the sake of the gospel and God's kingdom.
That's that sincerity that's there.
Yeah, and you know, I'll be honest, it's something I struggle with because I really want that to be the case. And sometimes I wonder, I'm too close to it. How can I tell? Sometimes I need someone else to tell me because I don't know if I can see from where I'm at.
Well, I think that applies to all areas of life. And real quick, I just wanted to kind of, you know, jump back to something you had mentioned earlier.
Uh-huh.
It'll be really quick, but you had mentioned earlier on in regards to satellite churches, and I just wanted to encourage everybody real quick, if you're faced with that in your own church or faced with something similar to that, I really encourage you to go and talk to the pastor, whether it's a teaching pastor or, you know, if it's a satellite church, you
yep.
might not have a teaching pastor, but go and talk to them about the motives behind it. Because like you said, there are some cases where it's really beneficial and some where it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like you know, in regards to all the technology that we've talked about tonight, it comes down to the motives. And has that, you know, whether it's on the congregation or one person making the decision, has that person sat down and prayed about it and, you know, gotten confirmation from God that that's something that they're supposed to do? So I wanted to touch on that because I don't want people to think that all satellite churches are bad, because I can see God using them very clearly in parts of the U.S., and so I want people to be encouraged that they can go and talk to a pastor about that. And,
yeah.
And that's on any issue, really, but this one specifically.
And, you know, this is also one of those issues where sometimes you'll have to agree to disagree.
Exactly.
I mean,
that's true.
And if we can do that in kindness and love, there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
We're not always going to agree on the best ways.
I do that with a lot of people.
I do that, too. Me and Mandy do that on a regular basis.
That's true.
Almost daily. You know, it's really funny. I was thinking about this whole use of technology and replacing interpersonal connection. I have to admit, you and I, you know, email each other a lot. Hey, what do you think about this?
We're
like
two desks
away. And I was thinking about that tonight. I'm like, there's an example of when it's bad.
So we could probably talk to each other.
Yeah. I could yell to you. I mean, I wouldn't even have to yell. I just have to talk my normal voice.
Girl,
you could hear
hey,
me.
Hey, Mandy. Yes, yo.
Yeah.
What do you need?
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of crazy that we fall into that. And I work so hard to resist that. And yet sometimes you're just thinking,
it's just so easy.
I'll just type out
just email it.
Because this will be so much easier. Click, hey, Mandy, I just sent you an email. Okay. And then you read it.
I'm going to
send you a response.
You've done that.
Boop, 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 boop. There you go. Oh, yeah, that was good.
It's like, oh, man.
Like the people that sit on a couch right next to each other and text each other.
Yeah, yeah, we have done that.
We are guilty.
Mandy, you got to keep me from doing that because I don't like that.
All right, I will.
That's a side of me I don't like. That's the side of me that it feels like a sellout.
It happens.
So now that you know Yo's deep, dark secret, we're going to wrap things up. Next week, Mother's Day, by the
way.
Wish your mom a happy Mom's Day. Preferably not collect. And I'm excited because we're going to have Catherine Martin on, and she's going to talk about passionate prayer. This coming Thursday, National Day of Prayer,
mm-hmm.
May 7th, and then Mother's Day, there are few things as powerful as a praying mom.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
And so it's going to be an emotional journey. But Catherine Martin has such a great heart, and I'm really excited to have her on again and talk about passionate prayer. It's something, you know, when you're talking about communication, That is the number one type of communication we need in our lives so badly, me especially. And so please join us next week for what I think is going to be a great time with Catherine Martin as we talk about the number one thing we should all be doing, like we breathe, is prayer. So that's going to be next week. And then we're also going to be having Ron Rhodes on this month, talk about heaven and what we can expect when we finally get there. And Sean McDowell, son of Josh McDowell, will be on the end of the month talking about the new generation of apologetics and why, like we mentioned today, we still need to be training in that and how we can do that here in the 21st century. And I'm really excited about that. And his dad, Josh McDowell, will be here June 5th for Jubilee Fest.
That's right.
And really stoked about that. So we got some great shows coming up this month. It's going to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to be here for them?
I should be.
All right. That's all I ask. All right. Thanks for joining us for Raw Talk tonight. Hope you have a shway evening in the Lord.
Thanks for joining us on Raw Talk on M88. Get the podcast of tonight's show free at M88.org. And join us again next week for more Raw Talk on M88.